B-Pod Studios.
Matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Zo out this week. Hardy in for Zo. Sarge is here today, too. Jim Louth back from time off. Yesterday, for those of you who were not with us, Hardy said he's got a backyard problem that he really needs some help with.
Not a problem.
Yeah, you called it a problem.
It's a bit of a problem.
Okay, thank you. I'm just using your words to describe what you called it, which is a problem.
All right.
Your problem being that the backyard is there, and it's sort of bare in that there is no centerpiece to the backyard. There's no plaything. There's no structure to it. There's no item for recreational purposes.
My daughter comes in the other day, and she says, "Daddy, can we put something in the backyard?" I'm like, yeah, of course. Yeah.
That's rather general statement.
But, yeah, and that's where we are right now.
Okay,
now, I am not. Dealing with a couple of kids, say like, Maz, for instance.
Yeah.
Maz has a couple of boys, they're both ball players, puts a batting cage in his backyard.
And nice.
Happy as, pigs in poop.
Sweet.
You know, right? And a long, tunnel thing. I don't know what he's got, but, there are some obvious answers to this question if you have two kids, maybe similarly gendered, and of a similar age, right? You got a 12-year-old boy and an 11-year-old boy, and they both like hockey.
Right.
You build a little rink out there,
sure,
that you can ice over in the wintertime,
right,
and you can play street hockey, whatever, you know? You build a basketball court if you've got two girls who both play basketball. You know, my daughter plays some sports, but it's not her first thing that she wants to go outside and do.
Okay.
What they want to do is they want to go outside, and my 12-year-old daughter, 8-year-old son, they want to play, they want to climb. They're both active. You know, they'll go out and ride their bikes around in the street, and they'll do other stuff. But in our old house, I put up a sizable play structure, right? I mean, a steel from the Lifetime Company out of Utah. Solid people, right? It was Mormon built. Good steel product, right?
Okay.
The three swings, the monkey bars, double slide, little fort, climbing net, modified rock wall on one side. It was great. They loved it. Used it every day.
Great.
My daughter's aged out of that a little bit.
Your son soon will.
My son soon will.
So you don't want to build one of those. So
I don't
cross that off the list.
Don't.
Okay, so don't call with the play structure calls.
Don't come at me with swing sets. Now, there are different play options. I see like a couple of things here. You could build something like a wood structure, platform on top. You know, you can have rope ladders up the side. But again, let's bear in mind, people, these children grow. They age. So I've got your answer. Yep.
I think I got your answer.
All right, let me give you the dimensions.
Okay.
Let me tell you what I'm dealing with here.
Should I write this down?
Giving a nice buffer.
Paces? You're going to give us the number of paces in your yard?
I paced it off, and I'm going to give you a general idea of the square footage we have to work with here.
Okay?
Yeah. We're talking about 60 feet by 45 feet.
Oh, plenty of space.
Okay? So, and that is
60 by 40?
Yeah, and that is the actual. So, and if you want to take it down from that, let's say to give myself a nice 10-foot buffer from the side of the yard. Let's say 50 by 30, and that way we stay away from the slope that goes down to the woods. And we, by the way, it's barren. There's no trees. There's no plantings. There's nothing. A blank canvas for you. What do you put in your backyard to entertain a couple of kids? 12-year-old girl, 8-year-old boy. Something gonna get. Let's call it 5-6 years of use out of, and then maybe I can take it down and put in my golf practice area, which is what I intend to do at some point. you know, a little chipping green. Maybe hang a net up there in the woods and just be able to bang balls, you know, off of that same area into that. But that's not now. That's for, you know, daddy's space years from now. Right now it's for the kids. What do you put back there? Give me some ideas. You're drawing something.
I'm thinking.
You
thinking about it.
Now you're thinking about it.
How would you feel about, well, did you want to put a basketball hoop back there? Was that part of this?
No, if I'm going to basketball hoop, I put that in the driveway.
What about like a hockey net? You want to get both of those things?
Again, we play a little street hockey in the driveway. This is
because you can kill both of those. You can kill both those birds with one stone, right? Where you put a flat surface out there, and you then later can turn it into something else, like a patio space, after they've outgrown using it as a play space.
I've got a lower patio space. I don't need more patio space.
All right.
I'll say batting cage.
He wasn't listening at all.
I know. I know you're talking about the golf down the line.
They don't play baseball.
All right. I know. But that's why I'm just trying to...
I mean, if I had all kinds of time and resources, I would build almost like an American Ninja like course out there. But I think that's a lot of work.
What's your budget? Let's talk budget.
Unlimited.
Wow. No, I just whatever.
Hardy, one word.
Yeah.
Pool.
Yeah, I asked him that yesterday. Is a pool an option? Because that's an obvious one.
Above ground, if you want to use that space later on. Okay. They have these ones that you can take down in the winter.
Above.
Yeah, I've seen that. You could take them down now.
But you've already got a nice circular green for your putting green
it's nice
down
and
the
flat.
Road.
This is flat area, flat space, right?
Isn't that a Mitch Hedberg joke where he says, I watched a 30-minute infomercial on an above-ground pool because that's the maximum amount of time of fun that you can have in an above-ground pool? I'm going to go up to my chest. Now what? I could dig. It would be a small pool, though. For a yard that size.
Putting green.
Plus, Jim, you have a pool.
Sarge is definitely not listening.
I know, but he's got me thinking.
Yeah, Jim has a pool, but it's an in-ground pool.
It's an in-ground pool.
No. And if it wasn't there when I moved in, I would never have built it.
And does it?
It's way too much money.
Right. It's money. It's a lot of work. And it does nothing to entertain your kids outside of the months of June through September.
How about inflatable pool?
Sarge, enough.
Getting tweets about it.
Enough. I'm telling you, Hardy, the basketball court, I have one, and it's
you have a basketball court in your yard?
Yeah.
In your backyard?
Yeah.
I've been to your house. I didn't see any basketball court in your yard.
Because you don't spend any time out in the backyard. Go look. It's out there, baby. I'm going to show you a picture of it. I might have a picture.
But your kids don't use that yet.
Well, they use it right now as there's like a street hockey net on it, and they ride like scooters around on it right now. That's what they use it for because they're little. They don't use it yet, but as soon as they want the basketball net, it's going back up.
Maybe some nasty games between those
two. It's great. Like, it's sort of, and you know what we use it for when they were like really little before they wanted to use it for playing on it? It's patio space. It's great. You can just keep repurposing it. That's what it serves as. It's like 27 by 27 feet. It's perfect.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it's been there forever. It holds up too. No maintenance.
You got permanently fixed basketball goal in there?
No, that actually came down a number of years ago. There was a permanent one, but now...
So not so permanent. How did it come down?
It got knocked down. Tree came down and hit it. It got knocked down. So we haven't put one back up because the kids are little and they don't want it yet.
Okay.
But when they do, we'll put a new one up.
I'll consider that. Here are the other things I'm considering, just to give you an idea. There are some woods behind us there.
Mm.
You rig some kind of a zip line. Some way to utilize the trees that are already back there. You got beautiful wood structures back there, and just tack onto those things.
But we also have the play area. We have the treehouse and the swings and the slides and all that. So we've got that.
But your daughter is going to be getting to an age there in a couple of years. That's like a free escape out of the house at night, zip line to the tree, down and out without making any noise.
Yeah, come on, Hardy. What are you doing?
What are you saying about my daughter?
Any teenager.
Wait, you're going to do a zipline from the house?
No, I'm not going to do a zipline.
Well, where's the other side?
I don't know how ziplines work. How about this?
Well, tree to tree, though, you need space in between with no with nothing, right?
Let me put something else
out
there.
What about those really expensive tree houses, though? Felger knows something about that. I talked to him about it once.
Did he do an expensive treehouse?
Yes, he did. He knows something about it. Ask him about it. He knows about the treehouse people.
Is he going to give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down?
I don't know. I don't remember.
This is fascinating.
We can text him. We'll ask him.
Okay, we'll talk.
He knows something about the treehouse people.
Can we also just bounce around for a moment? Trampoline.
I said that to Jim.
Which I immediately say no to. I talked to a buddy of mine last night.
You don't need that crap.
He's got a 13-year-old, and I think Holden's a 10. He says they love it. He said they use it all the time. And these are like sports kids. Baseball, golf, basketball, everything. They play all the sports, and they love the trampoline.
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sarge's ideas off the air continue to be very bad.
Not bad.
He's pushing bocce ball right now on Arnie.
What 8-year-old boy doesn't want to go outside and play bocce ball? Dad, I know I haven't had breakfast yet, but can I go out and get a quick game of bocce in?
Anytime I've ever played bocce ball in my life, it was with an old guy over the age of 75.
I was going to say, which is fun when you're a little kid. The old Italian man down the street?
Yes, that's who I've always played with. But, I mean, that was, as a kid, you think you're, an adult because at 10 years old, the 75-year-old let you play.
You could do that on any patch of grass anywhere, too.
Yeah, you don't need
to. You're doing a beach?
That's right.
Exactly.
Maz would be at the house constantly.
Can't get rid of this guy.
Oh, my God.
Can't get rid of this guy. By the way, out of nowhere, the pizza box Maz thing?
Oh, hysterical.
Is amazing.
It's great. It's great.
If you don't know what that is, Joe Murray, over the 4th of July week, was just looking at the standard brown pizza box, which features, you've probably seen it at a local pizza shop at some point in your life. There's a guy on the pizza box. And it looks like Maz.
Friday night, he ordered it here. He got back from vacation. He had no time to cook, so he goes, I'm getting a pizza. He gets a pizza. He looks at it, and the picture is like Maz's twin. Look at that.
It's amazing.
But we've all seen this pizza box.
Of course.
Yeah.
We've all seen that box.
It's never dawned on me before that it was Maz.
Well, who's ever taken the time to look at the box?
Well,
Joey Murray. Joey Murr looked at the box.
Love it.
And said, look at that. There's Maz making a pizza.
Bagel Boss guy looks like Maz, too.
I know. I'm not even going to go there because I know he's going to get a lot of that today. Women in general. Let's get to the phone. 617-779-0985. Ideas for this backyard of yours.
Okay.
Let's go to Eric and Lynn. I really like what he's about to say. Oh. Eric, what do you got?
Hey, that's what I was saying before. Yeah, I know. No, he's a cheap prick anyways. Who do I care?
Eric.
Yeah, well, I already... Hello?
Eric.
Yeah, who's cheap?
Who's a cheap prick?
Hey, I got an idea.
Okay.
All right.
All right, sorry about that.
It's all right.
No need to apologize.
Mini golf course.
I like it.
So, putt course?
Yeah, but your kids will like it. You could work on your putting. You know what I mean? Could
mini
be
golf
advanced.
Course.
You could have like a little river running through, maybe a little windmill,
yeah,
something like that.
I like it. I had a friend who did this in his backyard. He had like probably six holes years ago.
It's not awful. I just don't know
you
that
get
it,
bored with it really quick though.
That's the problem.
You
it
do
reminds me of my Galaga.
It's not something you want to do all the time.
The Galaga machine I put in my living room for a time. It's awesome. For 2 months.
Do you know who it's awesome for? People that come to your house as visitors.
Right.
It's not awesome for the people who live there.
It's like Jim Nance and his replica of the Pebble Beach hole at his house. You think he goes out and plays that thing anymore? No, it's everybody who's coming over to his house.
It could be a business opportunity.
Ooh.
Five or six things that like you could rotate around house to house. After a month, swap them out.
Ben in Sturbridge. Ben.
Hello.
Hi, Ben.
Hi. So, Hardy and Zoe like to throw the frisbee around every once in a while, right?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, we love it.
So, thinking, have you ever heard of disc golf?
disc golf.
Or frolf, as George Costanza called it, yes?
Yeah. You can get pop-up baskets. You can put them anywhere in your yard. You can get a bunch of putters for the kids to throw around, teach them how to throw it, and eventually you can make holes around the yard. If you get a trampoline or a treehouse, you can trick shots from there, stuff like that.
It's not bad. You know what? Like, and we had like a mini toy one that the kids played with a little bit, but if you get like actual real baskets that you could, you know, and a few posts.
Put the cement in the ground, man.
It's not bad.
Get that Portland cement, put those posts right in the ground. They're there to stay. You'll have real disc golf in your backyard.
It sounds like an addition, though, and not the answer. I don't have the answer yet.
Could be fun, though. Disc golf would be fun. Yeah. That's something that you could do frequently.
Yeah.
What about like a mini Fenway Park in your backyard?
Not big enough. Nowhere near big enough.
You know, wiffle ball field.
Oh, has anyone ever done that?
60 by 40, though. Wiffle ball, it's tiny.
Yeah, I just said it's not big enough.
60 feet?
Depends on the way you angle it to the house.
It's really not. It's not about angles. It's not big enough. It's not.
Depends. Going in the woods a lot to catch a ball.
Depends on the angles, Jim. Depends on the height of the wall you build.
Then you probably have people coming in the backyard as a spectacle.
No.
Whether you like it or not.
No one coming through that yard.
Yeah, you don't have enough space.
No.
You need more space. A pool that blows water at you, it says here. Ball, New Hampshire. Oh.
Hey, how you doing? This is what they call a swim tub. It's half hot tub, half swim. You can control the wave that comes out of it, and you swim towards the wave, so you can do laps.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. It's but I'm not raising Michael Phelps. You know,
it's not a trainer. But on the other, you can also. It's not just a. It's not
all
just for that.
We filed this under the pool category. I don't know why this would need a special category.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you.
No, you can have a hot tub and to soothe your joints. You can do salt water.
Salt water. You can have salt water, Hardy.
I don't have sore joints.
Well, whatever, you will sooner or later. Wait till you get my age.
All right. Well,
I use one, and it's nice to go soak once in a while. And
how big is it? How big is your pool tub thing?
It's like 20 long by like 10 wide, and one end is specific for. It's got chairs with all kinds of jets in it, so it massages your back, your feet. All that stuff.
Yeah. And, what's the most amount of people you've had in there?
You can turn the swim thing off. You can turn it on. You can turn it up.
Hey, kids, why don't you go outside and get yourself a nice foot massage?
How many people have you had in there at one time? What's the most people you've had in there? You had a party in there yet?
Six, but usually it's just me and my wife. And that's why the salt water keeps it clean, but it's really not that much maintenance.
Okay.
No different than a pool, but less because you don't have to dig a hole. And you could turn the temp down. You could turn it up. You could put wherever you want.
I blame you for this. He's going to tell me to put a bocce court in next to it.
What about one of those ones that's just the current's coming at you?
I'm talking about an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old. I don't want to hear about soothing sore joints. It's an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old, and their joints are fine.
But I think he's looking out for you, Hardy, after the kids
move out.
And
then you have extra space for a shuffleboard next to...
Look,
your 10 by 20 swim pool tub, salt water, soothe your joints, foot massager.
This is what fatherhood is about, because I was this close. I had already looked up the cost of getting like driving range quality netting, and I had the two trees picked out where I was going to hang those things.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Lay it down there, and I was going to build myself like a platform, so I, you know, because the yard slopes a tiny little bit, but I wanted a level place to hit off of, and I was going to buy a driving range quality mat, and I'm ready to pull the trigger all this stuff. I'm like, what am I doing? I got a backyard here that's for the kids, and then my daughter, almost on cue, a couple days later comes in and says, Daddy, can we put something in the backyard? So I will put all that in.
Listen, I've heard...
they're off to school and all that stuff. That's down the road, but for now, for the children, I need something else.
I think we got a good one here with John in Framingham. John, what do you have?
All right, real simple. Hardy, you got to build a little shed in the back. In the shed, you have your cornhole. You put your can jam. You get a croquet set. If you want to have your little bocce ball, you put it all together. And then when the kids want to play, you whip it out and you throw it down on the yard and let them go to town.
Let me tell you something. This idea was floated by somebody else on Twitter.
I think it's a winner.
Cornhole winner.
It's not about the cornhole, Sarge.
It's a big
Jesus,
push.
Sarge, stop talking right now for a second.
You've seen the cornhole boards that I made.
Yeah. I've been waiting for my set that you promised me.
I know. But
any day now,
a shed that the kids can use and play in, like as a playhouse.
That you don't put your stuff in. You just let it be the playhouse for as long as they need it to be the playhouse.
All your crap goes in there, right? Like most things in our homes, they just become a glorified toy box. But this is an outdoor toy box, and you could put little chairs in there and stuff. Have a little fort. Do all your stuff.
Get and some of those stackable vinyl chairs from the front of Home Depot for $6 a piece, and it's your clubhouse and your outdoor toy box, and you guys use it however the hell you want, and you are done, and you don't have to do anything else to the backyard.
This you have to go up in a tree there. It's a clubhouse on the ground.
Yep.
This really could be it.
Could be the solution.
This might be it. We may have cracked the case.
I got a guy, Reed's Ferry Sheds. They got the best sheds in the business.
All right.
They back them with a 30-year warranty, Hardy, which means for all those years that your kids are using it as a clubhouse, there's still a lot of good years left on that shed for you to use it as a storage shed for your stuff,
Beetle,
when they're done.
The problem is some of them use that particle board.
No, Reed's Ferry uses real stuff.
Oh.
Premium lumbers.
Because that other
all
stuff
the way
is
through.
Like, fall apart.
No, those
board.
Are parking lot sheds from the big box store.
Oh.
Reed's Ferry, all they do is sheds. They've been in the business for 59 years, okay?
They just don't
do the real deal.
I don't know if
which
there's...
means any of your concerns about this shed will be alleviated.
But I want to be able to customize it. What they are.
You could build it online right now. ReedsFerry.com.
Oh, my goodness.
ReedsFerry.com, bud.
This sounds like.
Nice plug.
This sounds like the longest con ever to get into Reed's Ferry shed.
Best
plug.
Idea I've heard all day is buy your kids a shed. ReedsFerry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
The robot umpires are here. The Atlantic League, the independent Atlantic League, has become the first American professional baseball league to let the robot umpires call the balls and strikes. It all started Wednesday night. They're ready to go. Happened in its all-star game. They still had a plate umpire, though. And he wore an earpiece that was connected to an iPhone that was in his pocket.
Say that again, please.
So he had to have his iPhone in his pocket with an earpiece attached.
How did I miss this?
Hardwired or Bluetooth? We got to find out.
It sounds when they say it attached, I'm guessing it meant hardwired.
Yeah, all those wires.
So he had an earpiece connected to an iPhone in his eye pocket, which then relayed the call from the iPhone upon receiving it from the TrackMan computer system, which uses, listen to this, Doppler radar. So I wonder if the track man can give you a nice little accurate weather forecast for the ballpark as well. The umpire crouched in his normal position behind the catcher and signaled balls and strikes.
That's a ball.
Here's the quote. ESPN has the story on it. From the umpire, until we can trust this system 100%, I still have to go back there with the intention of getting a pitch correct. Because if the system fails and it doesn't pick up a pitch, or if it registers a pitch that's a foot and a half off the plate as a strike, I have to be prepared to correct that. So hold on a second. The robot might all of a sudden call a pitch that's a foot and a half outside a strike, and he has to be ready to say, no, robot, you got it wrong. That's a ball. That's the robot setup.
It seems less than ideal right now. There's a couple of glitches. I'm not going to say it's perfect yet, but Jim's ready to say no more because of, well, number one, the ball that bounces in front of the plate but still crosses over the plate could be called a strike. I know you have a problem with that, Jim. Understandably so.
I have a problem with an umpire having to be behind home plate. Just have him umpire then.
So Brian DeBrower is the... home plate umpire, and he didn't have it didn't appear that he had any delay getting the calls at first, but players noticed a big difference. pitcher Darryl Thompson said, quote, one time I had already caught the ball back from the catcher, and then he signaled strike. He didn't realize the technology was being used until he disagreed with the call. An infielder, LJ Mazzilli, said a few times that hitters who had struck out lingered an extra second or so in the batter's box, waiting on a called third strike.
Mm. All right. So if we can deal with the buffering issue, because there appears to be some buffering.
There's buffering, but then there's also this. The umpires have the ability to override the computer, which considers a pitch a strike when the ball bounces and then crosses the zone.
That's an issue. It's a glitch.
That's a glitch.
I'm not saying it's perfect. But for Jim to say, what's the point if there still has to be an umpire back? This is what
you're
we talked
always going to need an umpire. What about calls at the plate? What about anything?
Yeah, stand off to the side.
Jim, this is what I...
Why would you want to have him stand off to the side?
What call at the plate is going to be so immediate that it's not on the pitch?
Well, what about this? How about check swings, which a robot umpire will never be able to do?
Yeah, home plate umpire doesn't do that either. He checks down the line. First base, third base.
Never. How dare you? Never. The age we live in, they said there'd never be flying cars either.
If a check swing would be easier to notice if you're off to the side a little bit,
okay,
you're right behind the plate.
A check swing does not 100% of the time go down the line. Most often it does, but not always.
Sometimes, but if you're not worried about the location of the pitch and you're off to the side, you got a nice idea.
I don't understand why you would automatically want the guy off to the side.
Well, that's what I said. There's no advantage to that. And by the way, I came up with this idea.
And if the system does somehow fail, then you have a fail-safe
right
in there and being an actual umpire
but
there.
But years ago when we talked about this, I said, leave the umpire back there. He can get some kind of a signal that immediately, you know, buzzes in his left pocket for a strike and the right pocket for a ball, and he can still make the calls. And Jim said, okay, I'm good with that. And then he can be there for the calls at the plate, for safe or out, for runners coming home, for the check swing, for stuff like that. You still need the umpire back there. But for the balls and strikes, why have him there? Like, you know... Or why have the thing and just have the umpire there? Because the umpires routinely get balls and strikes wrong. So that's why you need to have the robot. The robot.
I'd rather have like a lighting system behind home plate. Like the lights on the Green Monster. The three lights for balls and the two lights for strikes. Light them up.
So that's the only place you want there to be shown?
No, they can have them other places throughout the ballpark so everyone can see them.
What if you're sitting behind home plate? You'll have no idea. What's the count?
So yeah, so no, you put just, them everywhere.
You just want the count to update as the at-bat goes along.
Yeah.
You don't want, like...
Can you imagine the ball?
Hold on, right,
hold on, Jim. That light doesn't
go off, and
the catcher throws it back to the pitcher, and you're waiting for
hold
that
on
light. That's what happened in the game, basically.
You wouldn't want, like, a single green light, red light after every pitch to light up and shut off type of thing? Like, you should have an individual signal if you're going to go with lights.
Right. Yeah, fine. That's okay. Fine. Something like that. You don't need an umpire doing the motion in the strike. Like, why does the guy have to stand up behind the plate?
Why are you so against a human being out on the field?
Because he has to wear Bluetooth headphones or whatever he's wearing.
Why does that bother you so much? If he's not making the judgment on the strike and that's what you're most concerned about, why does it bother you that a human is the one relaying the message?
I don't know why it bothers me. It just bothers me. Reading the story, I'm like, this is obscene.
Now, I thought it was the part about the fact that a bounced ball could be counted as a strike was what concerned you. That's not it?
Yeah, no, that's it too. But it's both. It's all this whole story. Once I see how it's implemented, I'm like, no, this is a terrible idea.
Hardy, I read that a bounced ball was being picked up as a strike, and I thought, wait a minute. This doesn't have the ability to track the pitch as it is thrown? How is that the case?
It was a GPS only around home plate.
I mean, how is that
so
working?
Far outside it doesn't register? Does the machine break?
What is going on that it didn't
intentional
know that,
walks? What does it do on intentional
how
walks?
How did it not know that the path of the baseball went from the pitcher's hand into the ground and then back up into the zone?
Because the
how did it not know that?
The Doppler is only trained on the plate. That's all it sees. It just sees what's going on above the plate.
What do you know about Doppler?
So what if it bounces off the catcher's chest protector and then bounces into the strike zone? Is that a strike?
That's what I'm confused about. That concerns me.
Well, you got an umpire there. It's fine. You'll override. You know, do you want planes to go without autopilot? No. You keep the autopilot, but if something goes hooey, then you got a pilot in there.
I don't know.
Same principle.
These days, based on, you know, the Max 8, I think I'd prefer they go without the autopilot these days, quite frankly. I think the autopilot can get you in a lot of trouble now. Yes.
Another glitch. They're working on it.
Yeah, again, that one needs an update too. A serious update. Autopilot is bad.
How's this going to improve pace of play if the catcher's throwing the ball back to the pitcher, by the way?
That Boeing airplane, Hardy, is a lesson for all of us. That maybe we should hold on here with the robot umpires and slow the F down and say, you know what? Is this really all that bad? I know it's not life or death like the airplane is, but maybe that should serve as some sort of lesson to just say, you know what? This isn't perfect, but it's not horrible. It's not the worst thing ever. Balls and strikes at home plate. Maybe we should just slow down before we open a can of worms that we don't really want to open. Maybe the alternatives are worse.
I think you guys are discounting a wonderful technology, and you're also angering the soon-to-be robot overlords.
We thought the smartphones were going to be great. Like, oh, this is so great. The computer in your pocket. Look at us. We can't function as human beings anymore.
Well,
people can't have normal conversations. Our children are socially inept. Look at them.
The iPhone.
They can't function as people.
The iPhone society during a Red Sox Yankees game.
Society is going to bleep. Yeah. I mean, it's a mess.
Yeah. The iPhones that everyone is convinced are listening to us right now.
They are.
Yeah. And they are taking notes on who is against this idea. You guys are just digging your own graves right now.
I'm sure if I go on Instagram right now, I'll have stuff about backyard games and I'll have stuff about robots in my sponsored feeds there.
I'm sure you will.
Yeah.
Because they're listening.
You should be a little more careful about what you say about robots, is my advice to you.
617-779-0985. We've got a couple of things in the mix here. The robot umpires. Hardy's backyard. Bud Selig engineered John Henry buying the Red Sox, and now he admits it in his new book, which to me seems like the right thing to have done. We've discussed all those things today, and we'll take your calls on it next. That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
We've got something new we haven't heard yet. Combo in the car for Hardy's backyard. Combo.
Hey, Hardy, how's it going? How's it going, Beetle?
Good.
So, I believe it's the easiest and best thing. I'm going to guess that your kids are better at Fortnite than they are at football. So you're going to have to put probably a 75 to an 80-inch TV against your house, maybe on your chimney or something, an outdoor TV.
Sure.
Get one of those Little League bleachers, those uncomfortable metal bleachers.
Yep.
Let them hook their video games up to it. Yep. And then when they're done, you can watch night games and hang out outside all night. I think it's a great idea.
I think it's a good idea, too, because
your wife will.
Yeah, what my kids need is to watch more television. So what I would like to do is build a huge outdoor television viewing space. No, they actually want to go outside, and they want to go outside and play. Right now, there is nothing for them to do out in the backyard. It is barren. So to that end, I don't want to put in an outdoor movie theater and say, there you go, go outside and watch a movie. I don't want to do that. Now, I don't want to do anything that they are going to get bored with quickly, the one sport solution, put in the basketball court, put in that. I like the idea of a multi-use type of system. So if it could be like a hockey, basketball, all right, that's one thing. A pool is like a whole big thing. But the shed idea, I'm kind of into. You build a nice shed, you put a bunch of different stuff in there, or the stuff that they already have that they've forgotten about because it's tucked away in the garage and they won't go in there. That's an idea. There are some other very good ideas that we've gotten online, Beetle.
Okay.
And I want to thank everybody on Twitter if you have some of them. At Hardy
985.
Thank you very much. Well, Scott Zolak said, put the pool in, dummy. Which, of course, you said because
he likes pools.
Right. Ground level trampoline. So you dig the hole and you put the trampoline right on top.
You know, what's the point of that?
I think it's a little safer.
It's safer because you can't fall off to the ground.
And you can still fall off, but you don't have as far to fall. And I know they have the netting around the trampolines now, which people use. Nicholas says he's going with bocce, maybe one of those nice public park concrete checkers tables too.
Oh,
not doing that.
He's joking. He's joking, Sarge.
I know, Beetle.
The multi.
I'm not sure you did.
I'm owning it.
Buy the kids a go-kart and helmets. Okay. We're not doing a go-kart track.
How about a quad? You ever thought about buying your kids a quad for all those woods you have near your house?
No, they're not. Okay. They're not going out on a quad. I have a buddy who's convinced the badminton net is what they should use because we played a lot of badminton in college and right out of college. Let me tell you something. High-level badminton.
Long time ago, Hardy.
Hell of a sport.
Long time ago.
Hell of a sport.
I've yet to hear a better option.
Just get him a couple of BB guns.
Than the shed.
You got woods in the back?
I've yet to hear a better option than the shed.
The shed is a
like is a clubhouse. Kids yes. will hang out in it.
Yes.
It will never get old.
Someone actually, more than one person have suggested a tetherball pole. How long before tetherball gets boring?
Okay, Napoleon Dynamite.
A week?
All right.
Put a little patio off the shed. The kids can have their own little patio.
Gonna run power to the shed?
I was thinking about that. How tough could it be?
It's not hard. Just have someone else do it.
Jim Maney says, build the caged octagon. Absolutely. Just build him an octagon.
Sam is in favor of the pool. He's with Zoe. Sam.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey.
Well, I could see Hardy being like Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation and put a pool in there and just wait for that Christmas bonus to help pay for it. See you guys later.
Christmas bonus. That's a good one.
Christmas bonus.
Christmas bonus.
They get a Christmas bonus around here.
Do we?
Sure.
How much is it?
Well, I mean, I don't know how you're going to put in a pool with a legal seafood gift card.
I didn't get legals last year. I got some sushi place last year.
I love it. I look forward to that legal gift card.
I wish I got legal last year. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
We had a change in ownership, so the gift cards changed. It used to be legal. I like legal. Big fan of legal.
How about does anyone have any interest in the rock climbing wall?
No.
Yeah,
it's boring. Get tired of that.
As part of a ninja course, yes.
Ninja? What do you mean ninja course? You're build a ninja course in your backyard?
It's like a bigger playground, yeah. It's like instead of building the little swing with the little monkey bars, it's a bigger version of that.
It feels like a lot
be
of
realistic.
Work. It feels like a lot of
Come
work
on,
for
be
something
realistic.
That may not... No, it is a lot of work for something that may not get enough use to justify.
Vinny's in Foxborough. Vinny.
Hey, guys. A couple things for you. So, number one... You don't want the in-ground trampoline. Your kids will break their ankle day one. Imagine that, like you're coming down thinking you get like a soft surface, but you just twist your ankle a little bit on the grass.
Okay.
Don't do that.
All right.
Broken ankles.
Do a quick Google. Do a quick Google on speedball paintball. Right. You got your inflatable obstacles, right, that you can put in your backyard. Your Dorito inflatable, your beer can, your snake, and they can deflate. You put them right back in that shed.
Okay. He was very succinct to the point there.
All right. I'll do a Google search on that.
I think our phones may have just frozen, Jim. Maybe, maybe not.
Maybe it's telling us something.
Yeah. It's the robots. It's the damn robots.
Axe throwing an archery range. Thank you, Joel. Wonderful idea for a 12-year-old and an 8-year-old.
Matt's in North Attleboro. Matt, on the shed. You say don't do the shed.
Yeah, you don't want to put the shed back there, because I'll tell you what's going to happen. Once your kids are in high school, that little clubhouse is going to turn into the spot where all the kids come over and smoke pot. You know, it's where they're going to end up putting the bong.
And what's wrong with
and,
that?
It's just, I guess it's not, if that's what you're looking for, but just be ready for that to be local drinking spot at the end of the day.
I told Hardy, I said, this is the thing, when they get older, I said, it will continue to be a place where they hang out, but at the very least, you could take some sort of, you know, I don't know, you'll know where they are. is sort of the, you can take some comfort in knowing where they'll be.
I don't know if that is, you know, 17-year-olds, they're going to be play, you know, out there in the
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? Well, yeah, they are doing their drinking and smoking their pot, but at least they're in the shed, and I know where they are. Yes, at least my children aren't missing. They're doing things that 17-year-olds do, but at least they're doing it in my backyard.
You know what? I don't even have to build a shed. I just thought of this.
Yeah, no, Reed's Ferry. R-E-E-D-S. Ferry.
Now, I would like, have... I would have to convince
like the boat, ferry.com.
I would have to convince the wife, but I could actually just repurpose her menstruation hut that I built for her several years ago. And this is...
What the hell, Hardy?
Well, it's just her time for a few days each month, but it's only getting used a few days each month. If I can convince her to give that up, a few new decorations, maybe an extra, you know, window, make it theirs. You know,
how does your wife not kill you when you get home?
What are you talking about?
How does she not?
She loves it.
My wife would murder me.
She spends a few days in there.
I said the things that you say from time to time about your wife.
And then she's allowed back in the house once it's over.
About her she shed.
I thought that's what a she shed was.
I know your
wife. Isn't it just a fancy name for a menstruation hut?
She would murder you. She could murder you. She could. She absolutely could. She's more than capable. She's a capable woman.
She's got magazines out there and some nice candles.
Capable woman.
I don't know that she's going to give it up.
If you don't show up tomorrow, if you're not here, I know you're dead. I know it. I won't even have to ask. I'll text her tomorrow and say, I understand. I get it. It had to be done. You had enough. You had enough of them. I get it. I get it. It's okay. We get it. 617-779-0985. First round picks outside of the top 10 in the NBA draft. Mm-hmm. I think they are typically garbage. Should the Celtics be doing a better job at drafting in that range? It's a question. We'll ask it. We'll try and answer it coming up in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.